We just want to thank you all for welcoming us. It's been a blessing. And before I go into the message, it is Father's Day, and I just wanted to share a little bit. I did not grow up in a Christian home. The deacons, and I know the teens, have heard a little bit of my testimony, but when I was a kid, my dad was an alcoholic and a drug addict. And so I grew up in that type of home, and every summer I went down to Texas, and that was when I went to church with my grandparents. I never went to church as a kid except when I was there for 3 weeks. So 3 weeks out of the year was the only time I went to church, and that was with my grandparents. When I was 8 years old, I remember coming home from church, and I knew I was on my way to hell because of my sin. My granddad, he led me to the Lord, and God used me. About a year later, I actually rode the bus for a year to church, a couple weeks after we got home from our vacation, my brother and I. These pastor's kids said, "Hey, we see the bikes. Your kids want to come to church?" I'm like, "Dad, I want to go to church." And so we rode the bus for a year, and then I learned in Sunday school. Sunday school is a good place to learn biblical truth, that I need to be baptized. And so at my baptism, my dad gave his life to the Lord. After my pastor preached, my dad gave his life to the Lord. And he never touched another drop of alcohol. Some of the addictions, it took him time. He had to work through it, trust the Lord. And my dad has been addiction-free for, 15 years? A long time. And my dad, just about 4 years ago, him and his brother, they planted a church in Ulysses, Kansas. And God is using my dad to reach souls. And my dad, I remember that after he gave his life to the Lord, instead of the spittoon being in the living room, he had his Bible in his lap, and he got rid of it. And that was and my dad, he started teaching us the Word of God. He didn't know much about it, but what he learned, he taught us. And without my dad, I would not be here today. And so I was able to FaceTime him, me and Oliver, my son. He was cuddling with me on the bed this afternoon, and we FaceTimed my dad, and I thanked him for who he was, and I love my dad. And also, this morning we thank Faithful Servant and all the Grimes. Up until my generation, they've all been alcoholics, the whole line of alcoholics, and there was a faithful servant named Jerry Stout who just simply obeyed the Lord, and he gave my granddad the gospel, and it changed the Grimes family forever. And he just simply proclaimed the truth, and most of his kids, grandkids, are in the ministry of some sort, and that's because there was a faithful servant, years ago, who invested in my granddad, who's invested in all of us. And so that's just a little bit about me, and thankful for my dad. Hope you're thankful for your dads. Hope you, Garrett, did you tell your dad Happy Father's Day? All right. Good job. All right. Be thankful for your dads. All right. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 this evening. I typically try not to read a whole long passage. This isn't too long of a passage, so I hope with teenagers a lot of times, and even with kids, because I work in children's church at Martinsville Baptist Tabernacle. If you read a passage that's too long, sometimes you lose them. And so I try to keep it short. And so it's only about 10 verses, so I hope you guys can stay tuned. And then we'll see what God has for us. So we're going to start in verse 4. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know that the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. For a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among the thorns are they, which when they have heard go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on good ground are they, which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this opportunity for us to open your word and look at it. And I pray tonight that you would just work in our hearts and give us specific applications that we can apply to our lives and grow in you. Father, we love you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so here, Jesus, he's starting his message with a parable. A parable is an illustration. It's not a factual story. It's an illustration in which Jesus would portray morals and biblical truth. And he's using an illustration of a farmer. Do we have any farmers in the room? Anybody a farmer? Oh, so we got a farmer back there. I grew up on a little farm with some cattle and some goats, but in college I had the opportunity to work on, my great uncle had a 4,000 acre crop farm. And so, I got to know a lot about, well, I don't know a lot about crops, but I got familiar with crops. I was actually, you think of farmer and you think of John Deere tractors and all the fun stuff. That was not me. I was the fix the sprinkler, chop out the weeds. I was the grunt man. That's what I did on the farm. I didn't get to sit in the air-conditioned tractor all day. And, you know, they're actually GPS. So once you hit the button, the tractor actually steers itself. It's farmers today are really pampered compared to the, but anyways, so Jesus, he's using the illustration of a farmer. And I think why Jesus did this, for one, farming back in this culture, you know, today we don't, you don't need near as many farmers because you have these big old tractors that can do the work of thousands of people. But back in this time, if there were no farmers, you die. There's no food. And so everybody's going to be able to, you know, everybody can liken themselves to this illustration because farming in most all cultures was very important because without farming, there's no food. And today, a lot of people, I had a friend in college. And I convinced him that chocolate milk comes out of a brown cow. That's how much he knew about farms. And it's really sad, but a lot of people, they don't know a lot about farming. And that's just our culture today because you don't have to because very few farmers can put out, you know, we're not having to use a single blade plow anymore, you know. So everybody can liken themselves to this. So Jesus starts and he said, a sower went out. So here. You know, and, you know, we have big old planters today, but back then, you know, they had a sack on them and they had full seed. And so they just had to go out in their field. One field. And if you've been to Kansas, Pat, he said it's the most boring place he's ever been. It kind of hurt my heart a little bit, but that's where I'm originally from is Kansas. But, it's true. If you look at Kansas from like Google Maps, you'll just see circles all over the place. It's a big cornfield. It's really what it is. It's 120 acres. Do you know how long it would take to sow 120 acres of seed by just throwing it? It'd take forever. And that's what these guys did. And so they had their bags, they're out sowing. The sower went, and some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. So trodden ground, hard ground, we all know that if you're going to plant in a garden, you don't plant the seed where your feet have been because the seed's not going to be able to penetrate the soil and root itself. And what happens is the birds come down, they eat it. And so that's just, we can see that. Anybody ever try to plant a garden? Do you till the soil before you put the seed down? I hope you do because that's how you're supposed to do it. And some fell upon the rock. And as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now, it amazes me how sometimes these trees can grow out the side of rocks, but if you try to plant a corn plant, a corn seed on a rock, there might be a little bit of dirt on top of the rock where it might spring up a little bit, but you're not going to get anywhere because a rock is not a good place to plant a seed. Any of you guys plant your seeds in rocks? I hope you don't because you're not going to get anything out of it. Farmers, you know, but he's just thrown and some are falling on the rocks. And, you know, those rocks don't bear fruit. It gets withered away. A rock can't hold moisture. doesn't hold water, and that's what plants need. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up with it and choked it, okay? You don't want to look at my tomato patch right now because it's full of weeds. And kind of had a busy spell, been really busy, and I haven't had time. But we all know that, what are you supposed to do with your garden? You're supposed to weed the thing. Why? Because weeds, they steal moisture. In western Kansas, have any of you guys ever seen a sunflower field? Like an actual, like, for the sunflower seeds that we eat. By the way, Spitz, they're the best. But sunflower seeds. This is the thing with sunflower seed. Today, in farming, there's all sorts of not that it's healthy, but a lot of farmers, they'll have these crop dusters come down and spray the fields. The problem with sunflowers is they are technically a weed. They are a broadleaf weed, a weed. So you can't spray them. That's a bad thing. Because I had an uncle and a dad, because my uncle's an agronomist. He works for farmers. And my uncle liked to volunteer me to rogue a field. And some of you ask, what's roguing a field mean? Roguing a field is where you grab a shovel or a hoe and you chop out all the weeds. And when it's a 120-acre field, it takes a long time. Long time. And so you actually have to mark your row, because if you just start chopping around, you got to go by row. And it's an awful experience. And it's in the summertime too, because not in school in Southwest Kansas, 100 degrees is a very common thing, and it's really windy. And the wind in Southwest Kansas is so hot and dry that the wind doesn't feel good. It almost makes you more miserable. And so you have to chop them out. Because why? Those weeds, man, they steal the moisture from the sunflowers, and those sunflowers aren't going to produce the fruit if the weeds are there. And then the other fell on good ground. And this is the type of ground we all love for our tomatoes or squash or watermelons, you know. No weeds, no rocks, just prime, dark, brown soil. Holds moisture well. And sprang up and bear fruit an hundredfold. And so it's given them the increase that they love. And when he had said these things, he cried. So he's given this illustration, and then he cried. Now, to me, when Jesus cries, it's very significant. And I'm sorry. The Lord's grown him. And when my dad, God has worked in his heart, and my dad's sharing a burden, there's a lot of times my dad he'll just well up because he has a passion for what he's saying. He wants people to get what he has to say. And here, Jesus, this is something he's very passionate about. This is a truth that he's wanting not just people to hear. He's wanting them to understand it. He's wanting them to apply this truth that he has to offer. So much so that he's in a state of weeping. He's burdened. He's saying, hey, listen up. Because then he says, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus, you can just imagine, he's telling this parable and he's choking up and he has tears coming down his face. And he's saying, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Like a lot of times with teenagers, because they don't pay attention, you have to be, hey, listen up. That's what Jesus is doing. He wants them to hear. And then he goes in, and this is what I love. We're going to jump down to verse 11 here. He said, now the parable is this. So he gave this illustration that everybody can liken themselves to, but then he's going to explain it. He says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. So the seed that the sower is throwing out there, that's the word of God. So in this parable, if the seed is the word of God, the sower is the one proclaiming the truth. And that doesn't just mean it has to be your pastor or myself. If you go out soul winning, you're the proclaimer. You're the sower. You're sowing the word of God. You're sowing the seed. You're sowing the truth. Anytime you're mentoring, even with your children, when you're presenting them God's truth, you're the sower. You're sowing seed. Okay? And then it said, and then he goes in, there are four different, there's the wayside, there's the rock, there's the thorny ground, and then there's the good ground. And so in this parable, anytime when the word of God is preached, what he's saying is, we are one of four grounds. We're either the wayside, were the stony ground, were the thorny ground, or were the good ground? And so as we go into this, when Jesus, he's expounding upon, he's making specific application to the parable. Let's look at our hearts and say, God, what ground am I? When I hear the word of God, what type of ground is your word hitting? Obviously, we would all love to be good ground. But at times in our lives, we know that's not necessarily the case, and God's going to explain it here. Okay, so verse 12. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the wayside is talking about an unsaved person, somebody who doesn't get saved. Why? Because I know this verse is speaking to Christians, but the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to not just devour Christians, he also wants to devour the unsaved. And when the word of God is preached, he doesn't want them to get saved, and he's going to try to throw in distractions, and he's going to want them to not respond to the word of God. And so the devil comes and he snatches the seed away. Dr. Jim was here. I traveled to Special Forces with Dr. Jim, and on more than one occasion, when the invitation time came, peer pressure is unbelievable. And I have seen, they raised their hand to get saved. And so did their buddy next to him, but the buddy would not budge. And they never went forward. And they never got saved. And Satan, he'll use peer pressure to keep young people from receiving the word of God. Satan will use peer pressure even with adults to not receive the word of God. I remember going to this when I was a teenager. There was this guy that I preached the gospel to. This is when I first, after we did Netcasters, our church did Netcasters with John Van Gelderen. We listened to his tapes. And so this is when I first started going out soul winning. There was this man, and I went to his house, and he responded well. He didn't get saved, but I started going back. And every time I went, I feel like he got closer and closer. I felt like he was right there. And he was responding. He was getting so close. I was almost sure he was going to get saved. And his wife came. His wife said, "Get out of here." And he never opened the door to me again. And the devil used that man's wife to keep him from responding to the gospel. The devil does not want people to be saved. And so this is what happened here. I don't know what tactic the devil used in this circumstance, but the devil uses tactics to keep people from receiving the word of God. But we can't let that stop us from sowing, because there are people who will listen to our message. We can see people saved. Then it says, "They that are on the rock, which when they hear, receive the word with joy." So this is somebody who they've heard the message of salvation. They've received the word. So this is talking about somebody who's saved. They receive the word with joy. It says, "And these have no root. For a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away." Now, at home, my tomato patch, I have 6 tomato plants. I was getting really, really, really frustrated with this one plant. It was driving me crazy. "Why are you so shrimpy? Why are you so ugly, so scrawny, so shrivelly looking?" It was a pathetic tomato plant. It was driving me crazy. And I started investigating, and I get down there, and I look around. And I don't know why I didn't notice this when I planted the thing. But there were like bricks and rocks all around this tomato plant. I mean, a lot. And there was a lot of rocks, like, in the ground. I didn't, like, dig around and see if it was good ground. There were rocks all over around this tomato plant. And it's a sorry-looking tomato plant. It's not rooted in good soil. And even now today, it's still a sorry-looking tomato plant, because I wasn't a good farmer, and I didn't plant it in a good spot. I just left it there because I didn't have time. When we, as Christians, it is important for us, because like when we first get saved, honestly, we kind of are rocky ground. And when we get saved, it's wonderful that we hear the word and we get excited about it and we start coming to church. But the thing about us as humans is, our old man might be crucified with Christ, the sinner, But we still have the flesh. And that flesh will keep us from walking with the Lord. And so if we do not ground ourselves in good soil, we're going to dry out. I had multiple, as a teenager, I led a couple people to the Lord, and for a few months they came to church, but they never allowed the Lord to take them in steps of the faith to ground them deeper, and they stopped coming to church, and they've gone back to their life. For example, I told the story of my dad. My dad was actually saved before I was born. But my dad was an alcoholic and a druggie before he got saved, and nobody ever discipled my father. And so my dad just lived the life that he knew. My dad never got grounded in good soil after he got saved. And so it's important for us. How do we ground ourselves in good soil? Well, for one, the assembling. We come to church. We hear the Word of God preached. But not only that, but we read the Word of God. And like Pastor said this morning, we treasure it. Because it is life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus, he also said he's the Word. And so what God has for us in this Word is life. It teaches us. It guides us. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide thy words in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So how do we ground ourselves? By the Word of God. By assembling ourselves. By being faithful. By getting involved. And when we don't do that, well, we'll dry up. We'll find ourselves not being faithful. We'll find ourselves not spending time in the Word of God. We'll find ourselves not praying, seeking the Lord. Then it talks about the thorny ground. And they fell among the thorns as they, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring forth no fruit. Now to me, I kind of take thorns as distraction. This person here, Thorn, I see it as somebody with good intentions. I see it as somebody who might read their Bible, who might pray, who might go soul winning, who shows up in church. And I can say, these thorns to me are distractions. There are a lot of distractions in this world. These are distractions. They're very helpful. They can be a blessing. They can be used for the Lord. And it's not inherently wrong to have an Apple cell phone. Sorry, I'm an Apple guy. Actually, I barely know how to use the thing. I text with it. That's about all I do. Text and call my wife. It's not inherently wrong. Let's say entertainment. Are all movies wrong? No. No, they're not. Are all video games wrong, young people? Well, no, they're not. Are a lot of them wrong? You can get there's a lot of bad video games out there. Stay away from entertainment. There's a lot of bad entertainment. Hobbies. Are hobbies wrong? Hunting, fishing, crocheting, knitting. I don't know. Sorry, I had to throw something in there for the ladies. Though some of you ladies, you might hunt and fish, and well, good for you. Hobbies, they're not wrong. But when we prioritize our hobbies, our entertainment, our media, over God's word or over, I had friends that would, they'd rather sit at home and play video games than come to a youth activity. That's a problem. That's an issue. When you prioritize your entertainment, what you love to do over fellowshipping around God's people. God has chosen his people to reach the world. And if we don't fellowship and strengthen ourselves in the body of believers, then we're not going to be used to the potential that God wants us to be used. And so it's very important. Like I said, not all these things are inherently wrong, but if we prioritize these things and it takes away from watering ourselves, and how do we water ourselves? By spending time in the Word of God, by praying, by being faithful. And not that those things make us spiritual, but saying, God, show me something this morning. When you pray and you really seek the Lord and say, God, you've got to do something. God, I've got to see a breakthrough here in my life. God, I've been witnessing to this person. And not to make me look like a great Christian, but God, you got to break through to their heart. Draw them to yourself. Help them see the truth, come to the truth. Distractions, they choke. they pull away from what's important. Not that they're wrong, but if we don't have the if we don't have our priorities straight, if we don't balance it right, properly, you'll choke yourself. I'm not a gamer, but I remember my cousin had a Wii, and we'd go over there, and sometimes we'd play. But I just remember one time we played for a long, long time. And I don't know about you guys, but when I've spent a lot of time, lots of time, either with entertainment or not, it didn't even have to be that you did, because like I said, not all of it's wrong. But you just kind of feel, ugh. It's kind of like eating too much sugar, and you feel bad. Well, eating sugar isn't the healthiest thing, but it's not necessarily bad to have a chocolate chip cookie from now and then. But if you eat too many of them, you feel sick. And it hurts you. Do I have weeds in my heart that are pulling me away from my time with the Lord, that are pulling me away from my prayer time, that are pulling me away from being a blessing to somebody else in the church? You know, I was talking to the teens this morning, and I said, you have friend, the friend you're sitting next to has needs, and God wants to use you to meet needs in their heart, wants to use you to be a blessing. If you cannot encourage somebody in the Lord, if the Lord is not the center of your relationship, it's not going to turn out well. Why is over 50% of marriages in our country end in divorce? It's because Christ isn't the focal point. And I was telling young people this morning, there are no two sinners on earth that are compatible, and it is a supernatural work of the Lord that keeps a marriage together, and us being humble and allowing God to work in our lives. And it's the same with friendships. When we allow God to work in our lives, we see past the fact that somebody failed, and we forgive and we love, and God strengthens the relationship. So what weeds might I have in my life tonight? And then, and they fell among, but verse 15, but that on good ground are they which in honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So Jesus said, don't just be hearers of the word, but doers also. So in verse 15, these are the people that not only they receive the word of God, but say, God, how can I apply this to my heart today? When you do your devotions in the morning and you're going through the word, say, God, how can I apply what you're teaching me right now in my life today? I had a professor in college, a truth without application is a dead truth to you. It's dead to you. If you don't apply truth, then it doesn't really mean anything to you. Right? It only means something if you apply it. And so verse 15, the good ground, the good soil, when the seed hits it, it doesn't just take it, it doesn't just hear it, it applies it, it responds to it. It takes care of it. Having good heart, and the word keep it, bring forth with patience. Sometimes when you're working with one of your children or a teenager who you're discipling somebody, sometimes it takes a little bit of time. It takes patience. God's got to work. You don't plant a corn seed in the ground and 5 days later it's 8 feet tall and has corn cobs on it. It's not how it works. But good soil, it nurtures, it waters, it feeds. And when we're spending time in the Word of God and asking God to work in our hearts through what we read, and when we're praying and asking God to work in our hearts and our families, and when we're coming in church, not just to hear the Word, but, you know, it blesses, I'm sure, it blesses Pastor Humphrey and Pastor when church members come and say, hey, how can I be a blessing? How can I help? Where can I get plugged in to be a blessing to this church? That's what God loves. I was telling the young people this morning, if Pastor Falls and Pastor Humphrey are the only two people in this church trying to reach the community, and it's never going to get reached, it's as the people in the church get behind the pastor and say, let's see God do something. And so this, in verse 15, this is the person that's, they're applying, saying, God, thank God, use me. And they bring forth fruit with patience. And my dad, I don't know how many people he's led to the Lord, but he's led a lot of people to the Lord, and he took somebody who was messed up. And my dad said, God, here am I, use me. And God used my dad. I remember I was traveling. I remember the first, a big moment when I traveled Special Forces. I had never, I had led people to the Lord in soul winning, but I had never preached a message and had somebody respond and get saved. And not that, you know, that's like a notch in the handle or anything, but I was kind of burdened about God. I really wanted God to use my preaching to really make an impact in a young person's life when I was traveling. And when I was in Miami, Florida, this young lady, I didn't even preach a gospel message. I can't remember. I ripped on the teens for something. I was just kind of young and dumb, and when sometimes you just, you find something and you just rip on it and you beat it up. I kind of did one of those things. Probably wasn't the greatest message in the world, but I had hit on something that she had done in her heart. Well, anyway, she came forward and she was talking to my co-captain, and come to find out, she's like, I'm not saved. And she got saved. And I remember Dana telling her that, and I almost fell to tears because God used my preaching. Not that I'm anything, but God worked through me to see a soul saved through the preaching of his word. And that, I was on cloud nine. I was floating. I couldn't believe that God had used what I had to say, because it was probably one of the worst messages I ever preached. But God used me. In church, you don't have to be a great theologian. You don't have to have the whole Bible memorized. God's just looking for a humble servant, somebody who hears the word, says, God, I want to be used. God, use me. I want to bear fruit. I'm telling you, when we're not bearing fruit for the Lord, we're miserable. We're miserable. I've gone through some phases where I haven't seen God use me to make an impact on anybody, and it's sad. But when I've gone through certain stretch, it's really discouraging, and we don't like it. Why? Because God, when we get saved, God has put it within us to want to bear fruit. Now, we might not bear fruit, and we might, like the thorns, you know, we get caught up in the cares of this world and distracted. But God wants us to bear fruit, and God puts that in us to want to bear fruit. And we're going to bear fruit of some sort. Man, to get to heaven one day, being that ground that kept the word of God and brought forth fruit and hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear someday. So what type of soul am I when the word of God is preached? What ground am I?